Hello and welcome to The View from Here. This week I'm in Norwich to talk to Norman Lamb, the MP for Norfolk North, who's also a former health minister. Thank you very much indeed for joining me.
Great pleasure.
Parliament is utterly preoccupied by Brexit.
Yeah.
Is that the big concern of most of your constituents in North Norfolk?
It's interesting, when you go out and knock on doors and talk to people in their communities, Brexit doesn't get raised that much. It's things like access to healthcare, care services, benefit issues. We're getting a substantial number of problems with at the moment. People who are perhaps disabled, they get a work capability assessment, they get turned down for access to personal independence payment, for example, and then they have this extraordinary wait up to 9 months for an appeal, and often left in quite stressed financial circumstances whilst they're waiting. And there has been some really shocking cases, and in 70% of cases across the country, those appeals are overturning the original decision. So they're making bad decisions and then leaving people waiting horribly.
So this is leaving people without the benefits which they depend on?
That's right. So we're dealing here with some very vulnerable people. If you're in a rural area, perhaps in a small village, you have very limited access to services. There may be no bus service that you can use, so you can be trapped often in your community. And if you are then denied money to live with, then things can be really difficult. If you're susceptible to mental ill health, if you're under financial stress, then things become very tough.
Obviously, there are cases like this right across the country, but do you think that there are particular difficulties for people who are having problems with this system? If you are in a small rural village, if you are in a small community where the transport connections, the communications may not be so good?
I think so. There's sort of hidden deprivation in rural areas. It's not the substantial low-income estates that appear in big cities, where at least you get access reasonably close to where you live to the services that you may need. But if you're on a low income in social housing on the edge of a village with no bus service, it can be very challenging to get the support that you need. And you know, we're seeing now in Norfolk a closure of many of the children's centres, for example. They're making a 50% cut to the money that they spend on children's centres across the county. So that's another service that is disappearing from many places. Shops have disappeared, and you can literally be totally isolated. And so I think there are particular stresses of rurality.
When I spoke to Fee Robinson, who represents North Norfolk on the National Youth Parliament, she talked about how difficult it was to get the mental health treatment that she felt she needed as a teenager, but also about how living in a small village, she wasn't sure about how she could get onto the right path to actually see the person that she needed. She didn't want to go to her local doctor because she's in a small village and her doctor knows her parents.
Yeah, I think there are particular problems for young people in those circumstances. You know, we have well-known problems with our local mental health services where access to treatment is just wholly inadequate. Long waiting times. There's been stories from the Care Quality Commission's report recently of urgent referrals being downgraded to routine calls. And what that amounts to is a telephone call in a month's time. Now, imagine being perhaps a teenager suffering anxiety or depression on your own, isolated in a small village, and just waiting. And sometimes tragic things happen whilst people wait. Lots of incidences of self-harm, but also, tragically, too many people taking their own lives.
People look at a place like North Norfolk and they think it's a very beautiful part of the country, there's beautiful scenery, there are some pretty wealthy families living there. Perhaps they would be surprised to know that there is deprivation beneath that.
Yeah, I think it's very deceptive, actually. There is an assumption that North Norfolk is a sort of rural idyll, beautiful countryside, lovely market towns and villages. But go to Holt, for example, a beautiful, attractive market town, which everybody regards as being quite comfortably off. And yet south of the bypass, there is a very poor community which rates quite high on the deprivation index. And there are significant issues in that community with worklessness, with mental ill health, problems accessing benefits that I've described. And for many of those people, life is a struggle. There's no doubt about that. And the thing is, in a rural area, it's just hidden from view. People aren't aware of it being there.
I know that you've campaigned for a long time to get the same treatment for mental health problems that we have for physical health difficulties. Is that the solution, or is it about more money for local authorities?
Well, certainly there is an important principle, it seems to me, that there should be equality of access. Whether you've got a mental health problem or a physical health problem, you should have the same right to get treatment on a timely basis. That still is not the case. There is a discrimination within the NHS where people with mental health problems are left waiting longer. But I think also there's a question about how we spend the money that is available within mental health services. We spend money still on long stays in institutions, whereas actually there's not much evidence of good therapeutic value for those long stays. It costs a lot of money, and if we can reduce that sense of institutionalisation, I think we can free up money to provide much better and earlier support for people in the community. And I think that should be the ambition, and embedding mental health far more into primary care. So if you go to see your GP, you may be lucky and get a GP who knows a lot about mental health, but most GPs aren't actually trained in mental health problems, even though about a third of their work relates to mental health. So we need to be much more effective in providing support within primary care.
The government, the Prime Minister, have said that they agree with this principle, but clearly it is hugely expensive, and we know that there are huge constraints on public finances.
Yes, and I mean, I think we've gone through quite a revolution in mental health over the last 10 years. 10 years ago, there was a sort of conspiracy of silence. No one talked about mental health problems. Very hard to get stories onto the media, for example. Now it's sort of burst out into the open. I think stigma has reduced, and so it's easier for people to speak openly about their mental health problems and perhaps to seek help. There's also an advance that those in government are now talking about mental health in a way that never used to happen. Prime ministers never used to talk about mental health or even suicide. Now that happens, and that's quite a big and significant breakthrough. But I think there's still quite a gap between the rhetoric and the reality, and I think that's what we now have to address.
When I talk to people, not just in North Norfolk, but in other rural towns and villages, everyone I speak to say that they feel that the government in Westminster, the people in power, simply do not understand the difficulties they face, the difficulties in terms of just getting about, communications, getting access to services. Why is there that gulf?
Well, I think it's not the preoccupation of people in Whitehall. And we live in quite a centralised country where most of the money is raised centrally, and an awful lot of the decision-making about how that money is spent is made in Whitehall. In many other countries around Europe, there's much more money raised at a local level and spent at a local level. So you go to Sweden, people will be paying taxes to their locality, to their county council, where they have much more power about to decide how that money is spent. And of course, they're much more in tune with the needs of their communities.
But there are dozens of MPs like yourself who represent rural communities. Do you think you need to do more to get those concerns onto the political agenda?
I'm quite sure we do need to be more effective in making the case for a greater focus on rural areas. But I think part of the solution is that we need to devolve money raising, tax raising, and decisions about how we spend that money to localities.
Just one final point. Do you think that there is a structural problem here in that Scotland now has quite a powerful voice? It has its own devolved administration. The Welsh Assembly has its own powers. There is a Northern powerhouse. but from great swathes of rural towns and villages in England, there simply isn't the same kind of representation.
I think that's absolutely right. I've supported devolved decision-making, devolved power to Scotland and Wales, but it has resulted in the regions of England being left behind. And I think that it's an incomplete process, this. We have to make the case for much more devolved power. Fundamentally, Whitehall does not understand the needs of rural communities as we have in North Norfolk. And if you're a single mum with mental health problems on benefits in a village that has no proper transport links, you're completely isolated. And I think devolving power to counties like Norfolk, where we can address these problems because we know what they are, would be a significant advance.
Norman Lamb, thank you very much for joining me.
Pleasure. Thank you.